Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello and welcome to Mind Your Loaf, a podcast about taking action on our mental health. I'm here with my co-host, Mar.
Hi, everybody.
Brilliant. And the team at Irish Mental Health Charity TurnToMe.ie, who besides helping us with this podcast, provide professional mental health support online free to everyone in Ireland. So I thought, let's theme this because I would consider myself as an unlucky person. Now, people again are going, how can you be unlucky? You do all these shows, you do TV shows, you do loads of stand-up, you travel the world. I've done 2 world variety shows. I think I'll throw that in there. I feel like Ken Dodd. Anyway, and I thought we'd theme this on lucky and unlucky people. Like, because a lot of people out there would consider themselves lucky or unlucky.
Unlucky, yeah.
And so what would you say you are?
I don't know, actually.
Well, this couldn't be perfect.
Because I get too existential when I think about this question.
Yeah, but that's
luck.
Your job. I mean, you're trained like that to get extroverted.
No, I was born like
what
this.
What was it again you said there?
Existential.
Oh, yeah. That's what, is that like that's basically opening your brain and stretching it?
Yes. For want of a better answer.
Thank you, everybody. You've got extra what? Extra pencils. If you need extra pencils, you should have brought them in. So, existential. Yeah, so I would consider myself unlucky, which we will discuss in a minute.
Yes.
And you're on the fence. So you're what they call neutral.
Perhaps. Although I do find myself saying stuff like, oh, that would only happen to me.
Okay.
Does that mean I feel I'm unlucky?
That's an unlucky
mindset.
Unlucky terminology.
Yeah.
So we are going to talk, which is amazing. There's okay, so I'll just explain very quickly, which I'll probably do when he's on the phone in a minute as well, was I was given these 10 books by a friend of mine called Colin Cloud, who's a forensic scientist, and now he's a forensic mind reader. And he works a big show in Vegas and all that kind of stuff. And I sat with him while I was in Edinburgh. And because I was trying to get loads of people to work out how I can help myself. And he gave me these 10 books to read and said, read these 10 books. It'll take you about a year and it'll change your life.
Because he said to you, didn't he, like, you don't have time to go back to university. But if you read these 10 books, I think it's brilliant.
If I read these 10 books, I'll have more or less the gist of 4 years of heavy study. But it's working very well. So I got one of the books is called The Luck Factor by Richard Wiseman. And Richard basically studied lucky and unlucky people. Mm-hmm. And that's who we're going to be talking to within literally minutes. On the phone, we have, Professor Richard Wiseman, or is it just Richard Wiseman? Or is it a professor? Which way do we go?
It's definitely Professor.
Oh,
sake,
well done.
No, Richard is fine. Richard's fine.
Well, just to say, you're on a show, a podcast for mental health, and it's called Mind Your Loaf, and myself, Jason Byrne, I have decided with Mark Cusack over there and the website to basically do a kind of it's kind of mental health, you know, just trying to help out people, but I want to do a different theme each week. And just to fill you in, Richard, was I was given 10 books to read in a year that may change my life, and your book, which was given to me by a guy called Colin Cloud, who's a forensic mind reader in Edinburgh.
Oh, I know
Vegas.
Colin very well, yes.
Yeah. So Colin recommended your book, which is, now I was given The Luck Factor, and I didn't know anything about it or anything. And I mean, you're going to be very pleased with me, Richard, anyway, is that I read your whole book and I'm now, well, I'm basically in Look School. So what I want to do, though, first off, Rich, is it's based on lucky and unlucky people. And is that a thing, Richard? Are there lucky and unlucky people?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So the research goes back throughout sort of 15 years now. And I was interviewing people about kind of key moments in their lives, how they ended up with certain partners or careers or whatever it was. Mm. And you kept hearing these two words, lucky and unlucky. And at that point, no one had really done the research into it. It'd been sort of dismissed as superstitious nonsense or just chance. And so I started to interview people and found out that people really did consider themselves lucky or unlucky in certain domains of their lives, and then went on this quest to find the luckiest and unluckiest people in the UK and interview them and work with them and try and figure out, you know, what was going on. So that was the roots of the research.
Well, the amazing bit in the book that I read was that you were a magician and you were on stage. And is that where that kind of started for you? Because was somebody on stage with you who thought they... Was it money you were burning or something? How does that trick work? What were you doing again on stage?
Yeah, magicians like sort of burning money. Other people's money. They're not keen on burning their own. I've done lots of magic tricks which involve that sort of thing. And people sort of kind of going, oh, I'm a lucky person, and so they're going to make a certain choice on stage and so on. So it all has its roots in the same sort of thing. But so I started interviewing them, inviting them to the lab, getting them to do experiments. And, you know, you could see the lucky people were way outperforming the unlucky ones, just in terms of success and happiness and, you know, trips to their GP and all these things that we like to kind of associate with well-being. So there was definitely something going on.
But it's not fate, is it? I mean, do you believe that it's their personalities and the way they're putting themselves out there? Is that what's happening? Is that what defines luck and unlucky?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's not true of all aspects of our lives. There are some things which really are chance. I mean, some sorts of illnesses and accidents, and we shouldn't take responsibility for those. But often some of the things that we ascribe to good and bad luck, actually we're creating those events by the way we're thinking and behaving. And we don't realize we're doing it. I mean, this is the way the brain works. You know, it sort of works away in the background and you're not aware of everything that you're doing and the implications of that. So, yeah, there's basically, you know, lucky people see the world, see themselves in certain ways and behave in certain ways. And the same with unlucky people. And that then gave rise to this very interesting idea that if you change the way in which people think and behave, you can change their luck. And that was really the kind of pivotal central point to the research.
Well, when you read your book, like you give us a luck journal to fill in as we go along. And I would consider myself, before your book, an unlucky human, right? Even though I do all these stand-up shows and I've done like loads of TV and I've had like a really, you know, really good, cool career. But I would still feel that some of the choices I made were unlucky. But before I read your book, I thought I was genuinely unlucky, Richard. I thought I was going, oh my God, how is this happening to me? Like, I know I decided that, but why? Oh. And then I actually, after reading your book, I realised it's all my fault. I have nobody else to blame but me. Like, I made the certain decisions in my career that if I made the other decision, that thing wouldn't have happened. So what I did was, because you said in the book, you know, you gave us different exercises. So I recently became separated from my, my marriage broke down. I got a little bit kind of like, you know, upset, and I got a little bit introvert and all. So in your book, I was following it. You said, please just try and talk to somebody different tonight. Right. And I went, oh, God, because as a comic, comedians, as you know, as being a performer, is that we don't always want to talk to the people after the show, right? You know, because we're up there and we're giving it all. And so after I did a corporate gig in Newcastle, and it was insane, like it was mad, and I did very well. But afterwards, I normally go to bed. I says, no, I won't. I'll try Richard Wiseman's look factor idea and go into the room, open up my body, smile, look positive, and see how it goes. And I went in, and people coming up to me and shaking my hand and going, oh my God, thank you, that gig was so good, you saved our party. And then the boss guy came out of nowhere and he came up to me and spoke to me, and I said, right, I'm going to keep positive here. I'm going to stay positive and happy and try and push it out there into the universe. And I kept like, you know, touching his shoulder and stuff and going, look, listen, I think your company's amazing. I love doing that gig. And within half an hour, he gave me three brand new gigs for this year, which are very big award ceremony gigs for his company.
Wow.
And then he asked me to come back. And also, could I do a bit of a chat about public speaking to his staff?
Fantastic.
So now,
okay.
So yeah, so I would, but before I would never have tried that, Richard. I would have went, I'm too unlucky for that.
Yeah, so I think we all have, you know, our comfort zones. Lucky people do tend to be a little bit more extrovert than most, but it's also about the way they connect with others. It's very much a win-win. It's not all just about them, and that's exactly what's happening there. You know, they're going to get some great gigs, and you're going to get some work out of it, and that's all wonderful. They are about connecting with others, forming that kind of sense of community. And I just think, you know, it's so easy. I'm not exactly your position where you give a do some kind of performance and you just kind of want to skulk off afterwards because you're tired or whatever it is. Mm. So just pushing yourself a little bit out of that comfort zone and interacting with certain people, then all these things start to happen. So we've all got these unconscious behavioral patterns. We don't realize the impact they're having on the people around us and so on. And the book was really kind of nudging people to change that and to shake it up a little bit and to be a little bit more open to these opportunities when they come along. So it's lovely to hear stories like that.
And Richard, just what you're saying there, you know, you said that you've acknowledged that lucky people or people who consider themselves lucky generally are a little bit more extroverted. Does that mean that introverted people are less predisposed to be lucky?
A little bit. But that's also slightly due to the era in which we carried out the research, because this was all prior to social media. And I think actually now there's something that's happened, which is that a lot of connections are happening online, and introverts traditionally are a lot happier with that. So I'm not certain that would hold up right at the moment. I think it's true for face-to-face and you know, if you're confronted with a party and a group of people you don't know and so on, you've got to be a particular sort of person to walk in there and chat. And so I think online that may have changed. So that was one of the principles about this notion of connectivity.
And a lot of the studies that I've seen you do was like people who weren't happy in their job, they just like they literally just went for it and went, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm just going to leave, and then I'm just going to see how I mean, there's so many people who are listening right now that you're also listening to me. There's a lot of Irish people who are listening to this as well. We don't like change. We love the same thing. My mother goes on holidays and she finds an Irish bar with all her mates, and she comes back from Spain and I go, how was the holiday? She goes, it was great. We didn't meet any Spanish people. So Irish people they just don't want to change. And so how can you get somebody? I mean, because I learned, and that's what you say in the book, you say you have to be willing to change your maybe not your personality, but your way of thinking. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we're all creatures of habit. So I totally get that we're all in these little sort of boxes, and that's where we're most comfortable. But if you want to look for opportunities and for change, then something's got to alter there. And part of that is the way in which you see yourself. So if you see yourself as a creature of habit who always does the same things, goes on holiday and meets the same sorts of people, that's what the future's going to hold, which is fine if you're happy with that. But if you want to change, then you need to see yourself as someone who takes, you know, who does things differently. And that can start with quite small exercises. So it could just be watching different sorts of TV programs or listening to different sorts of radio or podcasts or whatever it is, reading different sorts of books, seeing some sorts of films, trying food that you don't know whether you like or you don't. All those sorts of things make us sort of into people who go, you know what? Actually, I'm not always doing the same thing. If an opportunity comes along, I'll take it, or just for the fun of it, I'll do something different. And so I think that is helpful. In fact, one of my colleagues at the University of Hertfordshire has done research into this notion of doing something different. It makes us far more flexible thinkers.
Yeah, and I'm also enjoying this Look School thing. Like, I am really feeling like that look is coming my way. And it's I don't feel my, I don't think on paper my life is any different right now. But a couple, but certainly different things have happened. Like, we were trying to get into a restaurant when I was in tour in Britain with my tour manager, and the two people in front of us, it was Bill's restaurant, and they said, no, sorry, it's full, you have to come back in half an hour. And I said, here, I'm going to try something. To my tour manager, goes, what? So I smiled as much as I could. I went, I'm so sorry to do this, but we have a show down the road, we're only here for half an hour. And all these positive things I threw at him, and he went, come on in, no problem, and sat us at a table.
It's almost like the law of attraction, isn't it? So you're giving out this positive and you're believing that it might happen.
Yeah.
And then
I think that you can really convince yourself and other people that, I mean, that if I knew, I'm 47 now, Richard, I wish I read this book when I was 20. I would have changed everything. You know what I mean? But like it definitely works. I feel like I am changing. My luck is changing.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. I mean, yeah, these things become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And so you have to kick it off in the first place. But once you've decided what sort of person you are, those are the vibes you give out, and other people treat you like that, which then reinforces that notion. So if you think, well, I'm not a worthy person, or I'm not very confident, or I don't deserve that table, or whatever it is, you don't go that extra step. And then for the reinforcement you get is from the world, no, you don't deserve that table, or you're not confident, or you're not successful. So it's trying to sort of halt that downward spiral and get people to go in the opposite direction. And when it happened, it feels like magic.
Yeah, and then I really enjoyed it. One of the lucky women that you were studying, I can't remember her name now, but she said, oh yeah, I'm very lucky, I'm really, really lucky. And you then found out that she'd entered competitions like loads every week. She was just entering holidays and everything, but she just thought she was lucky, but she wasn't. She was just putting the work in, you know?
Oh, yeah, she was one of these sort of serial competition entrants who was entered off, you know, hundreds of competitions, and then she'd won cars and holidays and so on. And really, that's a kind of blueprint for life. You know, if you don't enter the competitions, if you don't put yourself out there with the right attitude, you're not going to win anything. And then you convince yourself that's the case and so on.
Yeah, that's why people won't do the lottery, or so they go, I'll never win that.
Yeah.
They go, how are you going to win it if you're not in it? Literally, it's like, it is like that. And tell me, what is, we won't talk to you for hours and then, but I mean, I could, but what is the four principles in your book, Richard?
The four principles which underlie A Lucky Life, one is about seeing opportunities and creating and seeing them. So we've spoken a little bit about extroversion and other ways of doing that. It's about building community. It's about when those opportunities come along, making the most of them. You then have a second one, which is to do with intuition. That actually lucky people tend to trust their intuition, where unlucky people don't. They're sort of overly analytical. And by the time they've analyzed every aspect of a situation, the world's moved on and their viewpoint is often not very helpful. The third is about optimism. Perhaps not surprisingly, lucky people are more optimistic. And as we said, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the fourth really important one is about what's...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Now called resilience, that when bad things happen, as they do to everyone, lucky people have this uncanny ability to bounce back and unlucky people get dragged down. And so the book not only goes through those principles, but it's very kind of concrete exercises for people to do. And as you say, you know, I hope it's fun because if it isn't, you know, no one's going to be doing it. So I hope it's an enjoyable experience.
Yes, it is. And I tell you, like last night, we were at a friend of mine's house and we were actually just having a look at the, you know, the how we would interview him, what questions we were asked. His name is John Henderson and he's a friend of myself and Mars. And we were in his house last night and he left the house and they stayed there. And John was bringing all his notes from the Look Factor back up the stairs. And then he fell down the stairs last night, gashed his head, cut open his arm and was blood everywhere and got 9 staples in his head. And said, "Well, I'm lucky I didn't die."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That actually is your best kind of attitude there. I mean, you know, in the book, I tell the story of the guy that broke his leg and goes into hospital. And I said to him, I interviewed him, I said, "Oh, that's a bit unlucky." And he went, "Oh, you're kidding." You know, he said, "I could do some time off work. The accident could have been far worse." Yeah. And he actually said, "The last time I went to hospital, I met a nurse. We fell in love. We got married. This may be the best thing that ever happens to me. I don't know yet." These are very resilient attitudes. You know, you don't want bad things to happen, but the fact is they're going to. That's often outside of your control. What's within your control is how you respond to them.
Yeah, because like, I mean, I was very accident prone as well. I mean, I fell off swings as a kid. One of my swings literally snapped on me. That wasn't my fault. It just hit the deck. My arm fell off me when I was swimming in Australia. My knee ripped when I was having a poo on the loo.
Do you want to go into that story?
No, so I got up too quickly and I ripped the cartilage in my knee.
Dear God.
And then another one, Richard, was I was doing indoor skydiving only a couple of months ago. And I said, "I shouldn't do this. I'm too unlucky." And they went, "No, you'll be all right." I was the only one that when they said, "Was I okay?" I put my thumb up and I went sideways and took the instructor with me and everybody into the wall.
It's got to be said, though, if I'd ripped my knee just sitting down on a toilet, I wouldn't be doing skydiving. I would know my limits.
So I'm not lucky or unlucky. I'm just an idiot.
Yes. optimistic.
I have just because the tags me. The book is The Look Factor, but you have many other books out. What's your latest book out now, Richard?
Latest one is called Shoot for the Moon, which I had the privilege of interviewing all the people that helped put Armstrong and Aldrin on the moon, looking at the amazing mindset they used to do that. So it's not about the technology, it's about the psychology of achieving the impossible. That was out last year. So yeah, I have a fun job of doing these things. Yeah.
So finally, in like a very few sentences, what could you recommend to people who just feel are so unlucky and they can't be arsed? Do you know what I mean? Like what's a sentence that will get them up off that chair?
I think I would actually have some sympathy, first of all, and because often people do encounter lots of setbacks, it's very easy to get dragged down. I think the key thing to remember is that you're not born unlucky. There's nothing magical going on. And that the past,
because you're a skeptic, aren't you, Richard, as well?
Absolutely, I am. Yes, that paranormal stuff. But the past isn't a guide to the future. So the one thing not to do is decide that because you've been unlucky in the past, you're going to be unlucky in the future. The future hasn't happened yet. Change is possible. And I've seen it again and again that when people change their mindset, they become luckier. So have hope. That would be my message.
Oh my God, that's so exciting. Well, Professor Richard Wiseman, and I've got 28 days left in my luck school. So I'm looking forward to, because basically like redoing my luck, what was it called again? The luck profile that I'll do
That's right. The sort of profile questionnaire.
Gets any better. But look, thanks a million for joining us on Mind Your Love. Say thank you, Mar.
Thank you very much, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. And a professor for our first podcast, Richard. We're
there we go.
Delighted.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. And thank you for your kind words about the book. That's much appreciated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, my God. It's like literally changed my life. That's for sure. And hopefully and everybody else can get it now as well. And your new book, of course, which is The Shoot for the Moon. OK, Richard, yeah. I'll see you later. Thanks a million.
Take care, Richard. Okay,
bye-bye.
OK. All right. That was Professor Richard Wiseman on Mind Your Loaf, author of Look Factor. And he's got Shoot for the Moon. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
Like he was talking to astronauts.
What an interesting job to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He just...
And you know, and this is the thing, like, people go, oh, he's a very lucky fella talking to the astronauts. He's not.
It's all about the mindset.
Which is also called get up off your arse.
It is.
I love the way his empathy, because he went, well, first of all, I'd feel very sorry for people who can't, because I'm just so bad, I'm such a comic. What are you doing? Get up there. Put a daisy in your pocket and go for a smile. Now, in this book, there's many, many tests in the look factor. And that's why it's fun as well, because you keep a look journal and you write down all these, they're like tests as you go along, all these kind of exercises. And he's interviewed lucky people, unlucky people and neutral people, which are obviously people who don't think they're lucky or unlucky. They're just whatever. They don't know. And so far in all my tests, I've been extremely unlucky.
So that means you are seeing yourself as extremely
unlucky. Yes, I'm seeing myself as extremely unlucky. But now where I'm near the end of the book, I have redone a lot of tests. You get to redo them. But you must do a lot of the exercises.
Yes.
And don't worry, everybody. It's not like, oh, yeah, it's not doing that. What did happen?
But I think it's great because it's so interactive.
Yeah.
It's and that's talking about connectivity.
Yeah. Like, and it's also, great. And also, if I'm just pushing this book out here because like anybody who's not feeling great about their life, and it doesn't matter if it's work or your home or, you know, like even the way you're raising your children or anything, just it's all about just trying something a little bit different, because you got to try different things in your life to change.
Yeah.
And I, some, you know, of them don't work out, but don't. Now, what he says as well about lucky people is they persevere.
They persevere. Yeah.
You cannot stop. It's like that animation that you might see, like this meme, which I people are always sending to me, just thought was very funny, was it's a little miner and he's digging away at a tunnel. And then he stops, but only one more swing and he's got all the gold on the other side of the wall.
God, so don't. Right, yes.
And I would say I'm 47, 48. I'm literally coming into my look right now.
This book really has changed how you're thinking and how your life is for you then.
Yeah, and Turn to Me and this podcast and everything I'm just going for. Mm. You know, the whole thing I think has really helped me a lot. I mean, I have my beautiful children, I have my great past and my wonderful life. That I mean, but this has just put me onto a solid journey.
Yeah. One thing I'd really like to just pick up on, you know, the word magic was used there. Now, not just in relation to with Richard.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing about it is it's not magic, because he's given you principles and exercises and everything to do. So it feels more tangible. It's do you know what I mean? It's not magic. I can make this happen.
Oh, so he's not saying go down the end of the garden and run around a pole three times and come back.
Yeah,
and
so luck isn't magic. It's something that you can actually harness.
Yeah.
And that really is empowering, I think.
No, that is fair point. And he does actually go absolutely nuts at anybody who starts touching wood and having rabbit foot in their... He's going, no, that's not...
No.
So this is one of the exercises we're going to do on Mar.
Okay.
Now, when I first did this exercise, I scored miserably. Right? Okay, mm-hmm. So... It's the life satisfaction questionnaire. And anybody listening in can do this. Oh my God. Wow, I've just had a look at our viewers. 1.5 million subscribers. This is fantastic. It was only our first episode. God, we're doing very well. All down to luck and just push ourselves out there.
I know.
Okay, here we go.
Okay. Can you tell me how this quiz works?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Okay. It's called the life satisfaction questionnaire.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you six, they're not even sentences. They're just like words. They're like... connected to your life, right?
Okay.
And you're going to score between 1 and 7. 1 being completely dissatisfied and 7 being completely satisfied.
Oh my God. Completely. So 1 is completely satisfied.
No. 1 is, dissatisfied.
Oh,
how did you get that wrong already?
I'm nervous with numbers, Jason. Okay, so, and then 7 is completely.
7 is like, oh yeah, no problem.
Satisfied.
Yeah, like, so like if you said to somebody, do you reckon you'll ever like be terminally ill? And like somebody go, oh, I'm 7. No way, never. So that's how that works. So here we go, you ready? So you just write down your score as I say it. Right, so here's the first one.
Do I have to say it out to you?
Well, yeah.
Do I tell the 1.5 million listeners?
Yeah, tell them.
Okay.
So, first of all, your life in general, from 1 to 7.
I would say 6.
Wow, very good. Okay, your family life.
5.
Right. Your personal life. It's great crack.
My personal life being
Well, I don't know. That can be anything. That can be like your job, your relationships with.
Let's say five. Five.
Okay. I hope people are writing this down at home. My financial. I love the way I said at home. How old am I? Jesus, you told me you're all like, we're all, so was Gabe Byrne there for a second. God bless him. No, you're at home. The next one, my financial situation.
Two.
Right. And then my health.
Five.
And then the career.
Five.
Right. Now, you're not so good with numbers, but can you add? Oh, my God. Frog in the throat. Excuse me.
Six and five, 11 and five is 16, 17, 18 and 10. 28. Now, that is the quickest arithmetic I've ever done in my life.
Is it 28?
Listeners? Yeah,
okay,
is that right?
It's 28. First of all, I'm very impressed you didn't use your fingers.
I didn't.
Because I do the thing where I use my fingers and my nose. I got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 10. Anyway, what score did you get?
28.
Okay, there's a low, medium and a high score. You are in the medium bracket of a lucky person.
Oh.
So you're medium. So 6 to 26, if you score that, you're in a low score. So you're considered an unlucky human. Medium score is 27 to 32, which is good. Means you're pretty doing pretty well in life. And high scores is 33 to 42, which is those dudes.
What does it say about those people there?
Well,
or does it say anything?
Well, yes, but it just says, during his research, he gave this questionnaire to approximately 200 lucky, unlucky and neutral people. The results are shown, there's a graph there. Lucky people are far more satisfied with all areas of life.
Right.
And unlucky and much more than unlucky and neutral people. That's just how it is. That's what he's saying there. So if you just feel like you're unlucky, you just go, my general life, 2, family life, 1, personal life, I don't know, 0.
0.
Financial, like literally you can hear them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like I went, oh my God, my general life, I don't know, 2, 1, 3. I was so low, there's not even a graph for me.
Where are the minus numbers?
Yeah, so I literally would have gone into minus. But well done. So you're okay. You're grand.
Okay, today.
So he, now one thing I didn't get to ask him was, which I use quite a lot, is meditation.
Yeah.
Now we will, what we're going to do is, I think on another episode, is try and come up with a trendy, somebody cool to talk us through meditation. I mean, there is Wim Hof breathing, which I find quite unusual.
You do that, don't you?
Yeah. So with the meditation, he said to clear your mind and try and start rethinking yourself. You can just sit there and 3 times a week for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You can just start ranting to yourself. Like do anything. Just like say balloon, 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 or anything you want or any word, because it stops you thinking.
Yeah.
If I lie down, right, and just close my eyes, it is like a floodgate. It is a floodgate. That is worse than me staying, like talking to you.
Yeah.
So it just, that's why I don't really sleep at night, because the minute I close my eyes and stay quiet, it just goes, and it's like, oh my God, here comes all the info.
And do you find that having, because you practice meditation quite regularly, don't you?
Yeah.
Has that helped?
Loads. In this as well.
And what do you think about meditation has helped?
I think with meditation is that, first of all, absolute elation after it.
Mm.
I feel like I feel like I've no troubles at all. Do you know what I mean? I feel like, oh my God. And of course, you know, like in like China and all these other amazing countries, they just do it all the time.
Yeah.
And like, and then when I do meditate, straight afterwards I go, why didn't I do that?
Yeah.
What do I do every day?
Yeah.
And then I leave it 2 weeks and then I do it again. I go, why did you do that? So I am trying to do it a bit more. And you can do it in your office or do it anywhere.
Absolutely.
And I know people go, I'm not doing it in my office. I'm not sitting there going, balloon, 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 balloon. Unless you're a clown. If you're a clown about to leave for work, then your grand sitting in your office going, balloon, balloon, balloon.
Yeah.
But like, you can go anywhere.
But I think that's a very good point, that meditation is accessible, because we tend to think, oh, you have to be, I don't know, Richard Gere or the Dalai Lama or, you know.
There is young people listening to this, Mar. They'll think Richard Gere is a fellow that works with Jeremy Clarkson.
Anyway. What I mean is, like, even just sitting with your shit, you know, just sitting and breathing and just listening to your breath, just grounding yourself, saying balloon, 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 or whatever you want to say. It's just that commitment to saying, I'm just here now and I'm just going to cut off the thoughts. And it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I have to do it.
Yeah.
I really do.
Me too.
Because, I mean, And being a stand-up, you know, I'm even, look, there's chocolate biscuits on the plate over there, and I'm wondering if there's anything funny I can do with it. But like, that's how my brain goes. Like, I literally have, do you know Tetris? That's my brain. The things fall down out of the sky as quick as all the different shapes. That's all my information comes all day like that.
Wow.
It doesn't come, and then the more it builds up, the faster they drop.
Right.
And I go, and then I just go, oh, I can't. So that's when I have to go for a run or meditate and do whatever. But look, and that's the other thing. If you're listening to this, why do I keep saying if you're listening to this podcast? If you're not listening to this podcast, then you don't know what I'm saying. You don't know what me and Mar have just been saying. So literally, like, you're not going to come up to me in the street and go, here, I wasn't listening to that thing last week, so I thought I'd take the advice that I didn't hear.
Anyway. What would you like to say, Jason?
People can also, you know, drop a line on Turn to Me or on my Facebook or Instagram and suggest topics they'd like to get into, you know. We've just touched on lucky and unlucky people, which is, you know, because I consider myself unlucky. So I hit the selfish thing and I thought that was me. So next week we're probably going to do Why Am I Not As Fast As Usain Bolt? Which has got nothing to do with mental health.
Okay.
But I've started it now. So I'll bring a new Usain Bolt. We can,
no problem.
But yeah. So look, listen, thanks for, I think that's enough.
Okay.
Because, you know, like, you know, when you're, we've already spoken enough. And people, you know, the people are listening, you know, it's, this was longer than you had to listen to it. We've taken out all the bits, even the bit I'm saying now we've taken out. It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Thanks. See you later.
Bye. You've been listening to Jason Byrne and Mara, and this is Mind Your Loaf. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, tell your friends, and don't forget, if you or someone you know is going through a tough time, there is professional mental health support online, from counselling to support groups, all available for free for anyone in Ireland on turntome.ie.
Turn to Me provides professional mental health support online.
Jason, do your, you know, your ad voice.
Oh yeah, I'll do the ad. Yeah, okay, I'll do a proper ad thing. Okay, ready? Yeah. As a registered charity, Turn to Me provides professional mental health support online for anyone in Ireland going through a tough time. From one-to-one counselling to group and peer support, Turn to Me is accessible from any device anywhere in Ireland. If you would like to support Turn to Me, you can donate €4 by texting Turn to Me to 50300. Text costs €4. Turn to Me will receive a minimum of €3.60. Service provider like charity. Helpline 076-680-5278.
Is that you?
Yeah, that was actually me. Okay. There.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.